Mark Blake is my guest today here on the Pulse of New Hampshire's Morning Information Center. He's been writing about popular music and culture since 1989. He's got a brand new book out called Magnifico, the A to Z of Queen. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you.
Nice to have you with us on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is the Morning Information Center. We're talking to Mark Blake, author of Magnifico, the A to Z of Queen. Let me ask you about this. I mean, Queen seems to be ever so popular, even a couple of decades after Freddie Mercury's death. Why so, do you think?
I think it's about the songs, and they seem to have had a kind of second, third, fourth life. The music's still out there. It's still being played. It's been used in films and TV. And I think they've done a very, very good job of keeping that their kind of legacy alive. And obviously, I think particularly with what happened with the film, Bohemian Rhapsody, in the last couple of years, that's just given it another push completely. There's no escaping them, is there?
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
They are everywhere. And you know, look at the surviving members, and they're still around. I mean, they're playing music. They're on tour. You got Brian May and Roger Taylor. They've been talking about it. They've got some new music out. They go on tour, and the crowds are still there. Do you think people miss Freddie Mercury at all?
I think they do, but I think, you know, he died quite a long time ago now, didn't he? So it's almost like there's a generation that will never have known him, known the music when he was still around. So for them, he's a sort of a mythical figure of the past. And I think that's enabled them to, like you say, you mentioned the touring that they do with Adam Lambert as their guest singer. That's enabled them to go out and still keep doing it. But yeah, I think people do still miss him. I think there's people who wouldn't want to see Queen without him, but there seem to be even more that are happy to see Queen with a different singer.
You know, the interesting thing about Bohemian Rhapsody, not only was it a great film, but the whole Live Aid portion, I'm old enough to remember Live Aid, you know, back in the mid-80s when it was live and real. And I remember the broadcast, and I have to say, even to that time, I said it back then in the 80s, and I say it today, and I said it after Bohemian Rhapsody. I think Queen was probably one of the greatest performances of Live Aid that I've ever seen, and I think people still recall that and think, wow. I mean, they were almost not going to play that, as we know now, from the film and the information, but they came out and what an incredible performance. And I think people sort of just, their love for Queen continued after that as well.
Yes, it did. I mean, because that's the other thing, is the band had pretty much almost broken up, albeit temporarily, before they got persuaded to do it again. And it really gave them a shot in the arm, because I think after seeing how well they went down that day, they decided to get back in the studio, start making new music. You know, they had another few years and certainly another huge tour after that, which just, again, that sort of did what happened in recent times. It introduced their music to another new generation, even then in the mid-80s. So they keep kind of rejuvenating somehow.
Yeah, they're still popular today, as you talk about. We're speaking to author Mark Blake, author of Magnifico, the A to Z of Queen. Tell me about how you put this book together. Lots of interviews, of course, with Queen's gatekeepers, guitarist Brian May and drummer Roger Taylor. This is the new book out about Queen. Tell me a little bit about the format and how this book differs from other books about Queen.
Well, you've got a set of entries for each letter in the alphabet, but what it really does is it just tells the story, but it's a very easy way of reading it. It doesn't start with they're born and then it chugs its way through chronologically. You can jump in and out. You know, there's some longer reads and there's some shorter reads. There's some fun stuff in there. It talks about the videos, talks about individual songs, talks about the hits, talks about the ones that should have been hits and weren't. You've got the whole story there, but you can turn to any page or any entry, start reading, and hopefully it'll tell you something new that you haven't heard before.
Well, there's one thing that I discovered looking at the book, and that was under the letter J for Jackson, Michael Jackson. I didn't realize that Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson actually collaborated on a bunch of songs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they did. Freddie Mercury was invited over to Jackson's place, and they did two or three days of recording. I mean, a couple of those songs never were released. One of them was released a few years ago. The ballad finally got released. The Michael Jackson estate let it out. But they did collaborate for two or three days. But there's various stories about that collaboration. You never quite know who to believe. There's one story in which Freddie Mercury complained that Michael Jackson's llama was interfering with the recording, because obviously Jackson had a lot of pets in that estate in California. And he claimed that at one point the monkey was interfering and the llama was interfering. So there's all these stories he couldn't handle recording with Michael Jackson. He found it too strange. That's the popular story that's out there. No one knows whether it's true or not, but it's now passed on and become a kind of Queen legend, you know.
Mark, why does that not surprise me with Michael Jackson, really? Strange is the word that people use all the time. I mean, I love the guy's music, don't get me wrong, but yeah, strange, I mean, yeah, certain aspects of his life, he was strange, no doubt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It freaked Freddie Mercury out, apparently.
That's interesting. Hey, one of the trends seems to be, re-releasing a lot of stuff that has been in the vaults. You look at the Beatles, they've been recording, releasing all these major albums from Sgt. Pepper's to now the current release of Let It Be, of course, and now Revolver. Does Queen have any things, in the vaults that we might be hearing in the next few years? Some of the things that we've never heard before, outtakes, Freddie Mercury's new songs, things like that?
They're about to put out a reworked version of the album that they did called The Miracle, and there's a track on that. There's several outtakes from there that are on that, including a song called Face It Alone, which is a sort of ballad that Freddie Mercury had. This is some of the last recordings he did at the time when he was ill. He knew he didn't necessarily have long, but so there's a lot of material they did. I don't know how much more stuff there is, but I have a feeling there probably will be more. I mean, I know that there's some more material with David Bowie that was recorded, at least one other song, but whether that would ever see the light of day, I have no idea. Depends what sort of shape the material's in, because if it's a late night or jamming session, you don't know if it's fit for purpose. But yeah, Queen are very good at keeping this catalogue alive, so I wouldn't be surprised if we've still got some more archival releases to come.
Yeah, we're speaking to Mark Blake, who has been writing about popular music and culture since 1989. The new book is called Magnifico, the A to Z of Queen. Before I let you go, Mark, I wanted to ask you, in doing your research for this and doing all the interviews and putting the book together, was there anything that surprised you as an author and as a researcher about the group Queen that you did not seem to know beforehand?
I think I was surprised by how much they fought with each other over those songs and how tense it got when in the early 1980s, because they were rowing all the time. But of course, out of those rows and out of those disagreements came things like Under Pressure, Another One Bites the Dust, came a load of hit singles. But I think one of the things you realize is how hard they fought with each other in the sort of quest for perfection, if you like. And maybe it's because of those battles that the music, was as successful as it is, and we're still talking about it today.
Do we sense that was part of Freddie Mercury's personality, that he was such a perfectionist, and that he kind of ticked off the other members of the band because he made them do it over and over again until he wanted it right?
To be honest, I think the biggest perfectionist was Brian May.
Really? Wow.
And Brian May drove them all crazy, including Freddie Mercury.
Interesting.
He is the perfectionist. So Freddie Mercury had to calm him down. So there you go. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Thank you, Mark. Mark Blake joining us. The book is called Magnifico, the A to Z of Queen. If you're a fan of Queen or just rock and roll music, you're going to love the book. Mark, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thanks.